believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I have an echo. Why do I have an echo? Oh, the echo's gone. Great. Hey, you know, I told you guys starting, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, I started having computer problems. And I spent a good portion of yesterday, you can go online and like do this little online chat thing back and forth typing with these quote-unquote pros back at Hewlett-Packard. And they had me doing all kinds of stuff to my computer to the point where, of course, nothing was working. And I end up with some, I don't know, Habib al-Mahdi who something, I don't know, back probably somewhere in the Mid-East because the sentences I was getting, the words were a little out of place. And I actually had to read it with a goofy sounding accent in the back of my head to try to make sense of it. Who finally told me, you know what, you need to do a full system restore. All right, Habib, does that mean that I need to back everything on my computer up because a system restore is going to delete everything? Yeah. Okay, what are the chances this is going to actually fix my problem? Well, pretty good. All right, Habib, check it out. Actually, the name wasn't Habib. That's the only thing that comes to mind right now. It was like Dalla Fahaya or something like that. Anyhow. So I say, you know, backing up this computer, doing a system restore, then restoring the computer and doing all the settings is going to take probably between 1 and 2 days to accomplish. So my question to you is, what is the likelihood this will actually fix the problem? Because I think it might be a video card issue. His response, it should work. Okay. So I go out. Late yesterday afternoon, actually early in the evening, go to Walmart. I have a backup drive. However, I realize that my backup drive is smaller than the hard drive on my notebook because I've had it for like 3 years. I go out and I spend about $120 that I really don't have right now and go buy a portable 500 gig hard drive and a little case for it so that I can back my computer up on this thing. And, of course, since my computer's running in safe mode, backing it up is no easy feat. I end up having to, after a couple hours worth of goofing around and being completely frustrated, I end up downloading a program, which takes me over an hour to download, and then fire it up and then go through the backup procedures there, which it tells me, yeah, it's a little unstable. Hopefully it'll work. Great. So I have a bunch of hopefully it'll works with my main computer that I survive with. Backed all of the garbage up overnight, and then I went and I went specifically to copy many of the files, actually, rather than just in a backup format. In case that backup format doesn't work, at least I'll have a bunch of my files on there. So anyhow, I'm dealing with these computer issues, and it's really quite frustrating, especially considering all of the things on my schedule and all of the things on my plate that I need to do. Now I'm having to deal with this. So just one of those frustrating moments I figured I would let everybody know about. We're going to talk about the ridiculous idea of counting gun violence as a healthcare issue, a public health issue, and all of the negative things that are connoted with that. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. So when you hear about gun violence, and generally when we talk about gun violence, what we're talking about bad guys who are criminal career bad guys who shouldn't have a gun anyhow. And there's a common trend of treating gun violence as a public health issue. Now, I think it helpful to point out to those of us with guns who can positively affect public health. We can help treat what's known as hoplophobia in the general public. Hoplophobia is the fear of firearms or weapons in general. I've talked about this on the show before. The term was coined by the late Colonel Jeff Cooper, who invented the term, and he describes it as the following. The most common manifestation of hoplophobia is the idea that instruments possess a will of their own apart from that of their user. Another common manifestation in the belief is that anyone carrying a gun in public will certainly shoot someone and probably shoot the person suffering from hoplophobia. So, if we continue to allow them to consider gun violence, treat it as a public health issue, one of a couple of things is going to happen. Actually, it's not necessarily one of a couple. Any number of a few things could happen. First of all, they took lasers. You probably remember up to about 10 years ago, lasers were used in different light shows and such. Certainly in Las Vegas, they were being used quite a bit. The Las Vegas Hilton had a huge green laser that shot off way out towards the northwest. The Rio had dancing lasers off the top of that hotel tower and a couple other things. It got to the point where Congress passed a law that delegated the use of lasers to, and the regulation of lasers, to the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, so that it could, because lasers get used in practice of medicine, you know, for whatever it is, LASIK surgery or anything else. So Food and Drug Administration, which oversees a lot of healthcare-related things, now oversees lasers. So you can't just go using a laser over any certain wattage for anything without their approval. So if you take gun violence, which is essentially the vast majority of all of this is a full criminal element, criminals on criminals. Oftentimes, though, it ends up being criminals on good guys, and luckily enough, we have enough of the good guys packing now, where it doesn't work out so well for the criminals when the good guys are packing and take them down. If it's considered a public health issue, where do you think they're going to regulate guns to? You think that might go to the FDA or Health and Human Services, something like that, where they could actually regulate guns? Now, of course, you say, oh, no, it's a Second Amendment, it's a right. Well, unless it becomes an issue where they consider it a health issue, it's got to be regulated under the banner of one of the illegal fourth arms of the government, the administrative slash regulatory arm. I think I'm wrong? Hey, guys, I read a story online yesterday about the ongoing concern of gun violence being considered a public health issue. And this is exactly where my mind went in an instant. That's considered a public health issue. Wow, that means it could also be incorporated into Obamacare somehow. Or at least the, if not right now, in a year or two or three, when it gets there, that the Obamacare will be yet again, I'm sure, updated and realigned. I mean, the Federal Reserve did not gain all of its authority and autonomy in one fell swoop. It took dozens and dozens and dozens of laws to finally get the Federal Reserve Bank as autonomous as it is without having to answer to anybody. So certainly this could happen with the Obamacare or any other law, and certainly could happen when it comes to guns. Most certainly when it comes to guns, and we've got such anti-gun people in the White House. So be aware of that. Anytime you hear of guns as a public health issue, if you hear of that out of any news organization, I urge you to contact that news organization, not just the person who wrote the article, but more so the editor-in-chief of that, and let them know it's an issue of the black eye on society that are already breaking the laws to the point where they shouldn't have guns, and there's a black market for it. And unfortunately, you can't get rid of drugs. You can't get rid of abuse. You can't get rid of bad guys not following the law. So certainly you can't get rid of the guns that are in their possession. So with all of those things, realize it's not a public health issue. Once abuse is considered a public health issue, once the illicit drug trade is considered a public health issue, you know, those things certainly belong there much, much, much more than guns. So keep in mind, contact those people, contact the editors in chief, and let them know, look, it has nothing to do with public health. It's an issue of society. And in this case, this story has to do with the black eye of society that shouldn't have had a gun anyhow, blah, da, 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 da. It has to do with the courts that didn't keep this guy in jail. It has to do with the lack of actually being able to reform people while they are in jail, because all they do is they become a better criminal. So don't blame it on the gun. It is an issue of justice. It's an issue of the courts not keeping people who have previously committed crime and shown that they're working up towards gun crime behind bars. Perfect example was the guy that shot the four Oakland police officers earlier this year, and the other guy that was actually out with an active case pending against him, multi-time loser and offender in San Francisco, that killed a cop. So perfect examples of the justice system not doing what they need to do. Even if the justice system does keep them in jails, the jails are nowhere near being any sort of rehabilitation area, which was part of the intent. I mean, you get locked up, you go do time in the joint, and you are not being rehabilitated. If anything, most people, the vast majority of people, come out of there worse than when they went in. Like more of a badass, more of a negative look on the public in general, worse look on life, more skills to harm people. I mean, how is that beneficial to society to lock somebody up? I don't know. I dated a girl long time ago, 15 years ago or so, and she had a younger brother who I never met, and I knew her for 5 or 6 years, you know, from the time we met till the time we ended up splitting company. We didn't date the entire time, but 5 or 6 years I met her. I think he had been out maybe once, maybe twice in those 5 or 6 years, and never more than for 6 to 8 weeks. Guy didn't know how to operate on the outside. So he'd do something like steal a car and have the cops chase him for a couple of miles before pulling over and giving up, just so he could go back home, back to jail, back to prison. So just realize that that element is out there. That element illegally puts their hands on guns, and that element illegally uses guns, and uses guns for very negative purposes. And the reflection on that goes to you and goes to me. We as honest, law-abiding, gun-owning citizens are looked at in the same light by the ignorant masses that, oh, you know, this derelict puke felon who's not supposed to have a gun anyhow, they don't really see all of that, used a gun to, you know, do a drive-by and shot 2 or 3 people. One of them was the intended victim. And then 2 of them were just kids playing on a playground or what have you. Well, you and I are lumped into that because we own guns. Now, they own guns illegally and use them for illegal purposes, but we own guns. So if it turns into a public health debate, on gun violence, we could stand to really get knocked around on this one. We need to stand up and watch out for this, because it's all tied up in ulterior motives. If you think anything that ever gets conjured up in Washington, ever gets done in Washington, ever gets considered in Washington, doesn't have a dark side to it, then you are just plain ignorant. That's all there is to it. If you aren't aware that everything in Washington has a dark side and an ulterior motive, and almost always you can guarantee there's some sort of money behind it getting into somebody's pocket. That's just the way Washington works. Unless you have a lot of money or access to a lot of money, you're not going to get anything done. And if this public health issue is something that they want to turn gun violence into, and that can somehow further sway the illicit regime, which is taking control of their White House, and assist them in their purpose of collectively disarming the populace of the U.S. So there's nothing we could ever do back. If they do, they could do whatever they wanted to us, and we would have no repercussions. We wouldn't be able to defend ourselves via the Second Amendment. Then this is an angle to watch for. They're working several. Stay tuned after the break. I'll be right back.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Hey guys, welcome back. I want to read something to you. There was an online piece from the Examiner that said firearms fundamentals training, and it said, let me read this to you. It's a guy that's he's actually a good writer by the name of Daniel White. I just got to say that this one's a little bit off. I'll read it to you. Shooting a gun is a lot like driving a car. You can learn to do it on your own, but you're going to be much better if you get professional training. There's a lot more to shooting than just pointing a gun and pulling the trigger. Proper sight alignment, sight picture, trigger squeeze, breath control, consistent grip, follow through, and a host of other shooting fundamentals can drastically impact accuracy. Not to mention the fact that proper knowledge of gun safety is essential to be able to handle a firearm in a safe manner. And then following with, not to mention, again, the fact that self-defense skills will be taught and very well may save your life someday. So where to get training? There are many places you can find it. If you have a gun range or a gun shop nearby, pay them a visit. Odds are they offer training themselves. Or they have a bulletin board where others can advertise classes. If nothing else, the store clerks can point you in the right direction. Okay. Let me just respond to this. Having been a trainer for more than a decade now, I look at the industry standard of gun training the way I look at football. Most people out there who consider themselves a professional and do training would be, if it was related to football, they would be probably a junior varsity football player at the high school level, maybe varsity level, not realizing that there are more levels of football in front of them, that there's junior college, semi-pro, and pro. And somewhere in there is like Canadian football or arena football, something like that. Realizing all the way up to the NFL. They don't even realize that all these levels above them exist. Similar to a kid that's second year auto shop in high school, as opposed to somebody who's an ASE certified master mechanic and works in the engine shop in some high-end multi-million-dollar race team. There's a huge difference. You might think you know a lot as a second-year shop student, auto shop student, but you don't know nearly as much as the other guy. So that's really the way that gun training is. And it's tough to try to get other gun trainers who are in this junior varsity level to understand the difference. Reason being, there's three things you really can't teach guys about. Guns, cars, and women. Because we're born knowing all about it, right? So we think. And if you try to take somebody who's actually making a living at the junior varsity level and say, look, there's so much more. You have the potential at least to understand this. You may have the potential to teach it, but at least you should have the potential to understand it. Okay, trying to say that to somebody, say, look, let's get you some more training. Wow. You just can't do that. And there's no way, I haven't found a way to do it. They have to actually have a desire. And unfortunately, the vast majority of people, such as police and military trainers, not all of them, but the vast majority of them, especially at the basic level, are at this junior varsity level. Some of them are even at Pop Warner. They just don't know. And they sure as hell don't know how to teach. So to go to a gun store and say, hey, where can I get some gun training? These guys don't know. These are guys that own a bunch of guns, probably go out and shoot guns with some buddies here and there. Who knows what they shoot at? And if they haven't been professionally trained in the defensive use at a place that is a high-end professional training place, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I actually looked at a place that's supposed to be a defensive shooting school. I looked at some of the pictures and saw some holes in some of the techniques they were teaching. Looked at some of the things. When it has a description and it has 2 days worth of training and they're going to be shooting 1,600 rounds, run. Because you're not going to learn much firing an average of 800 rounds a day. Actually, shooting the gun should only be about 20% of what you do with the gun. Dry practice, really, practicing with the gun empty, unloaded, and dry, is really where you build the majority of your skill. Shooting live introduces recoil and a couple of things you can't get dry, and it reinforces what you learned when the gun was empty. So if you have a place that's just advertising these huge round counts, run. Because when you're done, you're probably going to be worse. A buddy of mine, very good friend of mine, is a Secret Service agent. And he said that they did a buttload of shooting during that particular portion of his training in the academy. He said he left being a worse shot than when he went in. Because all they did was shoot a bunch and yell at you a bunch. Shoot and yell, shoot and yell, shoot and yell. What kind of learning environment is that? Anyhow, be very careful where you look for gun training. You can always email me, bill@2aradio.com, and say, hey, look, this place is near me. What do you think about them? Or, hey, can you check out this place? Throw me a website or something. I'll look at it. I might even give them a call, and I'll see what I can do about letting you know. Stay tuned, guys. More to come.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back, guys. Okay, so there is a bill that was passed to allow people to carry guns on Amtrak. I shouldn't say carry guns, but to bring guns along in their baggage. Up to this point, you haven't been allowed to do that. Amtrak says no guns. So let's say that you lived in Massachusetts and you were going to go down to New Jersey to do some hunting, and you're going to take the Amtrak to do that. You couldn't bring that. You can. However, what's Amtrak doing about it? And keep in mind, Amtrak's pretty much got to follow the rule Because they are subsidized to the hilt when it comes to existing. I mean, they exist, but that's because government subsidies. So they've been completely bitching about this. You know, well, how are we going to be able to afford this? We can't ensure safety. We can't ensure that people aren't going to be bringing these guns on the trains. How are we supposed to know what's going on? So that's really what they're complaining about. So if you happen to live in Aaron, now I don't live anywhere where Amtrak services. Amtrak stopped servicing Las Vegas, 15 years ago. There's no passenger train that comes through here anymore. They're all freight. So anyhow, I'm going to read you just a bit about this. Amtrak is raising serious objections to a proposal that would allow passengers to stow unloaded guns in their checked bags, saying that the train operator cannot screen passengers' bags the way airlines do. Now, the Senate passed a measure last month that would allow passengers to declare and check a weapon on the trains, something airline passengers can do now and have been able to do forever, provided the weapon is unloaded and in a hard and locked case. They say this could jeopardize the operations of Amtrak because we don't have the monies to invest in the protocol necessary to guarantee that these weapons won't be used against the traveling public. Now, that came out of Representative Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi. That these weapons won't be used against the traveling public. So, let's analyze this. Or in the name of honoring such a ridiculous statement from Benny Thompson, let's analyze this. So if we look at this statement, what Benny is trying to draw a conclusion to is that if you allow people to check unloaded guns in hard locked cases on Amtrak, that's going to open the floodgates for others to use the ability to check stuff unloaded, to actually bring a loaded gun on the train and use it against the traveling public on Amtrak. But if we don't allow this to pass, if we don't require Amtrak to allow guns, if we keep status quo, then that means that nobody is going to try to bring a loaded gun on a train and use it against the traveling public. Where's the connection here? Isn't that an unbelievable disconnect? It's a total non sequitur. They're two completely different issues that have nothing to do with each other, but you're drawing the conclusion because there's a gun used in both. There's a gun in both topics. So you're drawing that conclusion. That's like comparing the Indy 500 to driving Miss Daisy because there's a vehicle involved in both. I'm sorry. I need to chill out. This is the sort of thing that makes me realize if it were illegal to be stupid, there'd be far less human beings on planet Earth. I would venture to say that Washington, D.C. would be a vast wasteland. Just the stupidity that abounds. So because you're talking about guns here, now, if you talk about anything pro-gun, an anti-gun person, such as Benny Thompson here from Mississippi, if you talk about pro-gun anything, you will get an anti-gun zealot that will use that to draw any conclusion that they want on their side, no matter how far removed it is. Have you ever noticed this? I would hope that you have. Let's say that someone wants to just do away with what they would refer to as an assault weapon, even though you can't really describe or define an assault weapon. They'll try, but then when you actually get into the argument, you realize that there's many holes in it. We've done it on the show before. Somebody wants to rid their state, local community, whatever it is, with assault weapons. And say there's a pro-gun issue that says, okay, you can carry, I'm trying to come up with something that would be reasonable. You can carry your long gun, shotgun or rifle, and ammunition to use it in your vehicle, as long as that shotgun or rifle's not loaded. And in most states, you can't drive around at least with a round in the chamber and a long gun. The reason is that's usually a hunting-related thing. You're not supposed to hunt from a vehicle. Part of the way to ensure that is to, because a lot of hunting accidents happen with guns being moved around in vehicles as people are driving and passengers are loading and such. So it's not really a self-defense issue. It usually comes under the Department of Fish and Game that puts out something along the lines of no loaded rifles or shotguns, at least not in the chamber. Some say no ammo in the gun at all. Most of them around the country, Nevada included, nothing in the chamber. So let's say, okay, you can carry the long gun and the ammunition in the vehicle. You don't have to have them locked up separately. And let's say that's a proposal. Okay, well, that makes sense. You don't have to carry them separately. Because you may be out driving in your area and see some game, stop the truck, load up, and go stalking this thing on foot. Okay, so that's reasonable that you don't have to have the gun all locked up. You don't have the ammo stored separately. Because you're going to lose a lot of time, you're going to make a lot of noise. We're just giving a for instance here. Then someone else says, my God, being able to keep loaded rifles and loaded shotguns in your vehicle is going to allow the people with assault weapons to run amok and slaughter innocent people by the dozens in our cities. Schools will not be safe because mass shootings will go through the roof. And places such as schools have always been a good area for intended victims because they're young, they're innocent, and they can't protect themselves. Now, that would be the sort of argument that an anti-gunner who just wants to get rid of what they refer to as assault weapons off the street based on any other proposal. You see where we're going with this? What I would like is to see the opposite happen. Anytime anything anti-gun comes up, if we're able to just make even a reasonably connected argument about how we should start doing away with the 20,000-plus gun laws on the books across this country, we should. And I think we should have some sort of gun group doing this. NRA should step up. Second Amendment Foundation. Somebody. Start a new one. I don't care. But anytime anything that could be remotely considered anti-gun, even if it's not directly gun stuff, it could be considered like how they're saying Obamacare is anti-gun because they can use your medical records to try to deny you rights to have guns and then pass legislation on it. By saying, oh, well, you know, people with these conditions, maybe they shouldn't have guns. So it'll spread the amount of people that can't have guns. Well, then somebody needs to take that and not just fight it on its merit. They need to take it and really take it to a much further extent. That's what I think. I'll give you another one. This AB962, I think, was the number in California. Let me look at this real quick. California Assembly Bill that passed 962, yes. Which, as of February 2011... is going to restrict the sales of handgun ammunition to 50 rounds per month. And you can only get ammo from an authorized handgun ammunition dealer. Can't get it from friends, can't get it from family. That means, say, somebody wants to, like, offload some of the ammo that they've got, they can't just sell it at a garage sale. They can't sell it to friends or family. You can only get it from an authorized ammunition dealer. That's it. That's all you got. Somebody buys a gun, private party, you can't sell them ammunition. You can't have ammo go with the gun. So if you end up with a lot of ammo, you need to shoot it or turn it in. So anyhow, this law is going to go into effect for handgun ammo. So, of course, I've had a lot of inquiries about my thoughts on this, which are rather obvious. But they've actually taken a bit of a turn over the weekend. Here's what I'd like to see. First of all, California's bankrupt, vastly bankrupt, because of all the unbelievable social programs that they have there that cost billions. And then on top of that, they have ridiculous laws that they have to pay to enforce. This is another one. Here's what you're going to lose. First of all, you're going to lose revenue within the state because of you can't generate taxes on stuff that you can't sell. If you can only sell 50 rounds, well, then you're not going to be generating any money except on those 50 rounds. Somebody can't go in and buy a couple hundred rounds and you're making more money on the taxes at the state level. Therefore, retail sales are going to go down. So that means people are going to get laid off. There's going to be less jobs. This bill will cost jobs. That means that you've got these social programs that are going to start costing more because of people who are out of work. So it's not just lost taxes. You're going to have to be paying for people who are losing their jobs, because if you sell a lot of ammo, and handgun ammo is one of the things, and your sales are going to drop by, say, 80%, you can't keep everybody employed. The math doesn't work out. On top of that, it's going to cost the state more money to be able to pay for law enforcement to check on the books and do as this law says they need to. So this law is going to cost tens of millions of dollars, if not maybe $100 million, a year is what this law is going to cost, in the interest of public safety, right? Evidently, nobody told the legislators or the governor before he signed it that 50 rounds a month is not enough ammo to develop or maintain a high level of skill with a handgun. You can't do it. Sorry, guys. I fire more than 50 rounds a month. I've got a high level of skill already. I'm just trying to maintain it. If I want to increase it, I need to fire more ammo. So you can't get better on 50 rounds a month on average. Let's say that you save up for, 6 months and you've got 300 rounds and you go out and you do a very intensive training day. If you only do that twice a year, you're not going to get any better. Now, there is a lot of dry practice involved, but you still got to have some time with a live gun. So skills with firearms are going to go down. So here's my thinking. All of the ammunition manufacturers need to come together. All of the manufacturers and importers in this country. And just simply stop selling handgun ammunition to wholesalers and dealers in California. Bite the bullet, as it were. Right now, the ammunition industry is as flush and full and profitable as it's ever been in the history, of that entire industry. So take a little bit of a hit and right now say, you know what? We're just not going to send any, and we're not going to do business in California. You're not going to get any products out of Federal Ammunition for handgun ammo in California, period. Winchester has decided that we are not going to sell any more handgun ammunition in the state of California. We're not going to provide it to any wholesalers, distributors, or retailers, period. Okay, Arms Corps. Everybody, it doesn't really matter. Just all of them, if they were to band together and do this, that would force this thing to a tip. Now, and here's the really big caveat. That includes refusing to bid on ammunition sales to all California law enforcement. Just, hey, we'd like you to bid on this. No thanks. We're not going to bid on that. And not provide any ammunition whatsoever to California law enforcement. Especially the ones that supported AB 962. Because it's going to cost jobs in other parts of the country, potentially. Because if you can't pump out all the ammo that's also being sold in California, consider it's only one of 50 states, but it is the most populous. However, there's a tremendous amount of there's not that many shooters in California percentage-wise. Number-wise, it's pretty reasonable. but bite the bullet, and pardon the pun, and stop providing ammunition to the state of California, at least handgun ammunition, because it's going to be regulated now. And that includes not bidding on sales to law enforcement. And the thing is, if one ammo company screws this up and decides, oh, we're going to do it, you know what? It's not going to work quite as well. It'd probably still work if you had one or two holdouts. But the thing is, to get this thing turned around and have the industry and the people of California band together and say, we don't like this. We elected you people to represent us, and all you're doing is representing yourselves in your own self-interest. And you, Governor, have no idea what the hell you're talking about, because you're listening to all the anti-gun people. You're not getting any pro-gun people. You haven't had any training professionals tell you, look, 50 rounds ain't enough. Guys, tyranny is defined as what is legal for the government, but illegal for the populace, is tyranny. Okay? So you are experiencing tyranny in yet another form in California. I'm not so sure why I'm so concerned about this, because I don't live in California. You guys lie in the bed that you made and started making decades ago. I'm just hoping that maybe somebody could do something about it. So band together, get the manufacturers together, get the people in California who are shooters together, and let them know that you wield more power than they. Stay tuned. More coming up.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
I had a thought over the weekend, and the thought is this. Barack Obama is not qualified to be president of the United States because of the way he was born. Even if he was born in Hawaii, it doesn't really make any difference because his father was not a U.S. citizen. If nothing else, his father had dual citizenship with England, and his mother, being born at 18, couldn't vest her American citizenship on him because, as the law states, you have to live within the United States for at least 5 years after the age of 14 consecutively to bestow your citizenship on your child. Barack Obama was born when his mother was 18, so that didn't qualify. And if nothing else, he had partial citizenship within the United Kingdom because Kenya didn't become its own country until 1963. He was born in 1961. So any way you look at it, he's not a natural-born citizen, especially if he's born outside of the United States. Even so, it really doesn't matter where he was born. It matters the condition of his parents. He's not qualified. He admitted it in the past. So that means that what has happened to spend over $1 million to quell all of this garbage, put a what looks like a fake short-form birth certificate out there, and carry on as a de facto president of the United States, is by one legal definition, it is treason. Okay? And all of the people who helped to perpetrate this would also be doing treasonous acts, also be guilty of treason. Now, we're talking what would have to be several hundred, if not well over 1,000 people committing treasonous acts. Now, treason is the only crime listed in the U.S. Constitution, and it's punishable by death. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw a whole set of conclusions here, thoughts and ideas on a conclusion. And that would be, if it comes out that Obama is not able to hold the presidency, like in court, like a judge's rule on it, and they also can show that Obama and other people knew this, yet purposely tried to conceal that fact, and everyone else involved, and that can be proven and judged upon, then they would be guilty of treason. Could they then serve a punishment? And could that punishment be as high as capital punishment? Just an interesting set of thoughts. Because we're getting completely hosed. Whether you agree with the Obama administration, or I should say regime rather, what they're doing or not, I've got to tell you that the way they went about taking control of the White House in Washington is illegal and a sham. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thanks for spending your morning with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.